Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
Before I get you guys caught up on a couple of things that caught my attention when I was on vacation. I love traveling because of cultural differences. I want to share a couple of them with you here in just a couple of seconds. Before I do that, though, Amanda, my girlfriend, took me yesterday to what I consider the devil's playground right now, and that is Hobby Lobby.
Wow.
You talk about an aggressive place right now because the decorations are going fast, really fast. So as we're walking around and I am totally and completely useless, she says, "Will you just go grab us a buggy?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Will you grab us a buggy?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" "A buggy." And then she points at the thing and it's a cart.
A shopping cart.
I have never heard it referred to as a buggy before. So I started making fun of her and she's like, "You're an idiot. That's the only thing I've ever called it." But you know, when you have certain vernacular for things, you think the whole world does. Have you called these things buggies or carts your entire life?
I always thought it was like just depending on where you grew up and what area. Like what part of the country you grew up in? Because some people, like, you know, some people call it buggy, some people call it cart. I've always called it a shopping cart.
I've always called it a shopping cart. I've never heard it called buggy. If someone said buggy, I would look for the car. I wouldn't even think of car.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I've always called it a shopping cart too. But I do think buggy is like a southern thing, maybe. It might be like a southern vernacular that people use. So in Georgia, obviously, it's just going to feel very normal to be like, obviously, it's a buggy.
But even when you're returning the carts, it says return carts here. It doesn't say buggies, does it?
Oh, no, it's a cart, but buggy is a really common term. I've heard them called buggies by multiple people, but never the store. The store will always call it like a shopping cart or a cart.
Okay. All right. Let's forget about that. All right. So Amanda and I went to Argentina for Thanksgiving. And what I love about traveling so much are cultural differences. But while there wasn't like one reoccurring theme the entire week, I wanted to share some experiences with you in Argentina that I thought you guys might find interesting. The first thing, I love these cultural differences, but there's one I can't really attach to. In Argentina, when they greet you, they do the kiss on the cheek thing.
Oh, the...
Yeah.
Double kiss?
The double kiss thing?
Mm-hmm.
I can't really get into that.
It's weird?
It's weird as an American to meet somebody for the first time, especially with a pandemic in our rearview mirror, and we're still kissing each other on the cheek.
Yeah, no. Well, right now, if you have kids, it's cold and flu season, and everybody's got a snotty nose, and I'm like, let's just keep distance. I just need distance.
I thought about coming in here today and not saying anything, and like when Jackson walked in here in front of the mic, just kiss him on the cheek. Because you just don't do that in our country, right? The people in Argentina, there are two things that happened in Argentina that I don't know would have ever happened in the United States. So you'll like this, Abby. Amanda found this theater. It's a movie theater that does nothing except play Taylor Swift songs in the pitch dark. Okay. It's just like a movie theater, but a small one, like an independent movie theater we'd have here that probably holds like 75 people. You walk in there and in Spanish on stage, they are telling you all about the speakers. We had no idea exactly what they were talking about, but apparently they're special speakers. And the lights go off completely. There is not one bit of any kind of light from a phone, from like an exit row or anything like that. So it is completely an immersive experience.
Absolutely not.
We'll get into that in a second.
Absolutely not.
Because as Americans, absolutely not.
Yep.
But the rest of the world, they're like, hey, no problem. But we walked in there and we could not buy the tickets online for whatever reason. It just wasn't translating through American Express. So we're like, we'll just get there early, like any American would. You'll go to the box office and you'll buy your tickets. Well, there was no box office. You had to buy them online. And we were telling the dude when we got there, like, we're trying to buy the tickets and we can't. And he's like, I'm sorry, we only take cash here. So we thought our night was over, and he's like, don't worry about it, though. You give me the cash, give me your U.S. dollars, and I will pay for you, and then it won't be a problem at all. Let us right in, no problem. Now, the second part of this whole thing is where you were going. Completely and totally dark, right? Amanda and I found ourselves sort of holding hands really tightly when it first started, because I think that as Americans, we are always sort of wondering where the exit is. Is there a danger factor here? But in this country, there was, everybody was completely at ease. And I don't know that it would fly in this country at all.
I don't have the chill to do that. I, with the anxiety disorder, there is absolutely no way. I'd be sitting there clutching my purse.
Yeah.
Like somebody's going to come steal my stuff. Or somebody's going to touch me and I'm not going to know who did it.
Yep. And you could, it was so dark, like you couldn't put your hand in front of your eyes and see your hand. That's how dark it was.
Ooh. Yeah.
And that's for 45 minutes to an hour. And it took us about 15 minutes to settle in because Americans got your head on a swivel all the time, right? So second thing, again, we go and we try to buy tickets online for this orchestra that was playing the songs of Hans Zimmer, which I guess is a conductor and a lot of his music is in movies. Marvel movies and stuff like that. So we went to go buy our tickets and it was on a college campus. And again, we arrive and we're like, we are trying to buy these tickets online, but it will not accept our American Express. And the guy's taking a look at the tickets and takes a look at us and he goes, just be my guests. And he takes us up to the second row.
Are you serious?
That's cool.
Totally and completely free.
Nice.
And we were trying to, we were debating, like, in our country, would that ever have happened, or would they have turned you away?
They probably would have turned you away.
Yeah. Right.
For sure.
But in other
cases, it also helps that Amanda's really hot.
Yeah, I guess so. Had I been there solo, you probably would have. You got to go.
Yeah.
A couple of other things I just wanted to share with you guys also is that, you know, you hear about this passion about soccer around the world, right? Well, we had a tour guide one day that took us around downtown and was showing us all these historical sites. And when she took us to lunch, it was one of these tours where you eat and you drink at 10 different places. And she was telling us about soccer culture there. And said that she knows more than one family, like two or three families that love soccer so much that they sold their vehicles so they could get tickets to World Cup games.
Oh my gosh.
They will give it all up for soccer matches. And there is also a team there called Boca Juniors. And they have an arch rival. It's one of the most heated rivals and rivalries in soccer. They're called River Plate. They don't allow fans from opposing teams into the stadium. You can't even buy tickets. You have to buy your tickets through the club. So you can't even go on a Ticketmaster. You have to know somebody that is part of the club in order to get into the stadium. And you can't wear anybody else's colors into your own home stadium.
That is different.
Wow.
And it's such a prestigious position to be the president of Boca Junior that the former president of Argentina is trying to become the president of Boca Juniors and couldn't. That's how crazy soccer culture is down there.
That's
insane. So that's why when you look around the United States and you think we got, like, we know what we're doing in other parts of the world, it is nutty, man.
I'm still just floored you went on an eating and drinking tour because...
And took tango lessons.
Dude, wait, what?
Your boy is whipped.
What? You damn bad.
Your boy is whipped bad.
The Bird Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot of you guys were walking into a hornet's nest when it came to Thanksgiving, including Lisa here, who called in on Friday right before we all took off for holiday. Hey, Lisa, good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. All right. So I wasn't here that Friday. So can you kind of recap exactly what your tension was?
Yeah, definitely. My family is pretty crazy. I thought Thanksgiving was going to explode because my parents pulled an insane stunt. So my younger brother is notorious for breaking up with girls for really stupid reasons. And his last girlfriend, he broke up because she wanted him to use a water bottle to, like, cut down on plastic, you know? And my family was like, that's just a really stupid reason. We're not doing this. So they invited her to Thanksgiving dinner, which, and no one told him. It was hilarious.
Okay.
She was obviously on board with this idea.
Right.
Yeah, I was 100%. I didn't tell him, but I thought it was a great idea, honestly.
All right. So Thanksgiving rolls around. What goes on?
Well, I mean, it worked. I don't know how long it will last, but my brother and his girlfriend are back together.
Whoa.
It worked.
Yeah.
Everybody's floored here.
Never happens.
I mean, honestly, it felt like a movie type of thing. No one gave him a heads up that she would come to our dinner. And she got there about like 15 minutes before my brother did. And so we're all sitting around, you know, the kitchen table. And when he walked in, he did this fantastic double take. And he just walked in and gave everyone a hug. He wished everybody happy Thanksgiving, including her. And honestly acted totally normal. And no one really addressed it. Just kind of like they never broke up. Anything. She's really cute. She brought like a pumpkin pie. She didn't make it, but you know, it's like the thought that counts. And we all hung out. We had dinner. The two of them sat next to each other. It was cordial and lovely. And she was the first to leave. And so she walked out and he walked her to her car. And of course my mom and I, you know, spied out the window. They talked for almost like 20 minutes and then they hugged and she left. And he came back in and we were all just sitting there waiting for him to say something. And basically all he said was, well played. And that's kind of when my mom had her mom moment. And she was just like, you can't dispose of women because of silly, you know, insane reasons. And that was kind of the end of the night. But I got an update over the weekend and they're back on. So like our little stupid turkey dumbass intervention, like it worked. It was great.
Well, how about that? I did not see coming. I really thought he was just going to walk in, see her there, and turn around and walk out.
That's what I would have done. I'm floored that not only that it worked, but the fact that he wasn't upset about it and that he didn't barely mention it. That's surprising to me.
Even though I'm shocked they got back together, there is no way this is lasting.
I was going to say.
Everyone gets a little desperate over Thanksgiving break. People are going out to their hometown bars. They see their old flings and all those old feelings come back. And I think the same thing happened to him where he walked in. He's like, well, this is convenient. I don't have to swipe on Tinder tonight. You just get back together with an old flame.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I love this for her if it works out. I love this for him if it works out. I don't see this going another month.
It does feel like a bit of a Band-Aid.
100%.
Yeah. Well, then you got Christmas right around the corner, so maybe you keep those feelings through Christmas.
Yeah, and then like what's dry January hits.
Right.
then things really dry up.
We'll definitely see how long this lasts, but it was honestly a really funny moment. I'm pretty shocked how well he took it too, but it was great overall.
And I'm still shocked of her sense of humor that she was willing to, like, you know, roll with the punches and show it. What was that face for?
This is not a sense of humor. This is a sad girl who got dumped for a stupid reason and wants to get back with her boyfriend. I don't blame her. I'm not calling her stupid. I'm saying when you show up to your boyfriend's Thanksgiving, ex-boyfriend's mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, it's not because you want to get a ha-ha laugh joke in. It's because there's that small part of you that is really hoping when you get all dolled up and you bring that Costco pumpkin pie, it's just going to be floored. And decide, you know, why not? What the hey? Let's get back together.
Mo, I'm trying to get your read on it. Is this a Band-Aid or is this one, is it going to last?
I would think it's a Band-Aid. I mean, because I couldn't see myself like this start being the start of something that's actually going to be substantial. I think it's probably a for now thing. But then again, maybe the two of them knew each other well enough to know like this. I really wanted this to happen, but couldn't do it myself. And it might work.
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is of breakups that end up when they end up back together, staying together for the rest of their lives. But I think that percentage is low.
Pretty low. Yeah, but here's the thing. Imagine. You get one breakup. Let's just say that this was a first draft relationship. And I hope it works out in the long run, but I don't see that happening.
Appreciate the update, Lisa. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
The Bird Show.
All right, before we go forward, let's go backwards here for a couple of seconds to last Friday night. Because if we don't talk about this Georgia-Georgia Tech game, what happened? Do you guys even know what happened in this game?
I saw some of the highlights, but I missed the majority of it.
Bro,
I watched the whole thing.
Eight overtimes.
Wait, what?
Eight overtimes.
I didn't know that part.
Georgia Tech was spanking Georgia. Now, keep in mind, if you don't follow sports, that Georgia's like one of the top 15 ranked teams in the country. They've won national championships. Georgia Tech is trying to build their program back. Georgia Tech comes in there and they start spanking Georgia. Georgia doesn't even score in the first half. And they're down by like some ridiculous number with 6 minutes left. I didn't get to see the match. I was in a plane back from Argentina. And when I landed on Saturday morning, I said to Matt, I can't wait to watch a game today. And all these notifications were going on. It was a Friday night game. I didn't even know they were playing on Friday night.
That's different.
So they go into overtime and eight overtimes before Georgia finally closes it out.
Clean old-fashioned hate is going eight.
Kirby Smart's going to let this one go. No timeout.
He lets it go. Haynes King being chased. Haynes King desperate to the end zone. Incomplete. Looking for Singleton. Georgia's going to have a chance to win it. Frazier straight ahead.
I am so happy I was not here for that. I would have been an emotional wreck.
So can you explain, because Bart was trying to explain to me that now with overtime, like one overtime is one thing, but then you like literally line up like super close to the goal and then you just go back and forth until somebody doesn't score or something like that.
At some point, it just becomes a game of attrition when it comes to two-point conversions.
Yes.
So you're trying to get into the end zone for 2 points and it goes back and forth. And if you like, if Georgia Tech didn't get in, then Georgia has a chance to score a 2 point conversion. If they don't get in, then Georgia Tech gets the ball back and it goes back and forth and back and forth. And they both seem to be scoring at the same time and not scoring at the same time until it goes eight overtimes. It's one of the best matches, best games in Georgia-Georgia Tech history, and it's a heated rivalry.
Do we know if that's a record? I've never heard an eight overtime game before.
I think there's more than that.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Between Georgia and Georgia Tech, for sure, that's the most, but I think there's more than that. That's
nine insane. Is the record.
Nine Ooh. Is the record.
Yeah, that was Illinois and Penn State back in 2021, but they now Georgia and Georgia Tech.
All right, Rebecca, so after your Wicked screening here, or after our Wicked screening, I should say, you had a little bit of a problem last week.
I got majorly humbled by some green face paint. So I love a theme and I love, 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 love makeup. So when I heard we were doing a private screening of Wicked, I knew I was going to dress up as Elphaba, of course.
And you crushed it. You looked amazing.
Thank you. I worked really, really hard.
And if you guys haven't been listening to the entertainment buzzes this morning, I mean, Wicked is the number one movie in the country. People are already going back to see it two or three times. It was everything we thought it was going
to
be.
But Rebecca, you should let people know, you need to check before you put on green paint, because a lot of theaters are banning it. I think like AMC or Regal, I don't know who, but they're like, they are not allowing anybody with green paint. But thankfully, the Terra Theater, who were so awesome, you got to rock your green paint.
What is the point behind not allowing people to wear green?
Stains the seats.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Terra don't care about that. It's been around for a while.
Yeah, I felt very lucky because I didn't see that start happening until after my showing. But yeah, I bought two different green face paints, one for contour, one for base. And it took me literally like, I think like 2.5 hours to like really get it down. And I was so happy with the way it looked. Shout out all the drag queens I ever watched makeup tutorials for. That really helped me. But I was a little nervous going into it because just a couple of days before, I had seen a TikTok of a woman who had done the exact same thing, painted herself as Elphaba, and allegedly claimed that her skin was now permanently green for like the next like 2 years until her cells regenerated. But I was like, that's not going to happen to me. I'm built different.
Well, I wouldn't think they would sell like green paint for your body that would stain you for 2 years.
The problem is a lot of people during like Halloween, they don't see that things are actually skin safe. They put on acrylic paint. Like, they put on stuff that is not supposed to be on your skin and will sink in forever. I didn't do that. I went on Amazon and I bought some grease paint that is specifically for your skin. And I had a lot of incentive to get it off because the next morning I had a flight at 6 a.m. to go to Anchorage to spend Thanksgiving with my family in Alaska. So when I got home, I hopped in the shower because that was the only way I was getting all of that grain off of me. And I start scrubbing at my face. And to my surprise, it's coming off really easily. It is just wiping off. And I'm like, wow, this is not a problem for me at all. Until I got to my jaw and my neck and my ears.
Oh, no.
And I scrubbed.
Oh, no.
And I scrubbed. And I scrubbed. And it was not coming off. And I realized I only put primer on my face.
No.
What does that mean?
It means that there was not a layer between the grease paint and my skin where it met my neck and my jaw and my ears. So I jumped out of the shower looking like I was wearing Shrek's chin strap. I was stained like a musty swamp green and it was not coming off. And that's how I showed up to the airport the next morning.
Oh, no. Wow. TSA is going to love you.
The baggage claim guy took a look at me, kept staring at me, and like as he like put the label on for my checked baggage, did not take his eyes off from me. I got a couple double takes as I walked to my gate. Hartsfield Jackson was not having me, I'll tell you that. But the craziest thing was I walked through security and I have never in my life been like flagged. Like I've never been pulled to the side where they have to like, you know, pat you down. And this time they did. And I asked the agent, I was like, is it because I'm green? And she did not laugh.
No, they don't have a great sense of humor about those kind of things.
She did not find that funny.
So you get to Alaska and you're still green. So how long did it take, like throughout the week, for you to finally de-green yourself?
De-green.
It took 2.5 days.
Are you serious?
Wow. 2.5 days. I showered once, like 3 times a day, to try to get it off. Thankfully, in Alaska, you're cold, so I was very covered up, so a lot of people didn't see. I literally laid down in the snow and just kind of like, I like rubbed it around to see if I could like get something off. Yeah, it took 2.5 days.
Good for you for embracing it, though, man. Did other people show up green?
No. Rebecca was the only green one.
Okay. Yeah, maybe the word's getting out that some theaters aren't, like, allowing you, which seems really weird to me. My son worked at a movie theater. A green stain on the seat is the least of your concerns at a movie theater. That's the one place you do not want to take one of those black lights, man. All right, it's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
What a scene it must have been over at Abby's house. A mental breakdown in the middle of Thanksgiving in front of the entire family.
Yeah, people were wondering what I was going to be making for Thanksgiving this year. And it turns out, a scene.
Yes!
I was going to be making a scene for Thanksgiving this year.
I'm sure you weren't the only person across the country, but I can't wait to hear what happened.
Yeah.
Do these breakdowns happen because you feel safe, like there's so much stress outside the family that when you get home, you feel safe that you can let all that happen? Or does it occur because of the family?
No, I think holidays are just like a pressure cooker. Like for me, Thanksgiving has always kind of been a pressure cooker environment. My mom's side of the family, who I adore, but it is a huge, huge family. I mean, there's 30 of us. And every year we'll go up to a big cabin in North Georgia. And, you know, it's just a lot of people in one space. So it's kind of always had this weird energy that as an adult I've tried to avoid. I'm like, you know, I kind of was taking inventory of like Thanksgivings in the past and there have been years where I've really enjoyed going out there because I love my family and there's so many of us that it can be a really good time. But sometimes having so many people can just make the quarters feel a little cramped and can also just make emotions be really, really heightened. And throughout my life, I think I've kind of always felt a little bit like an outcast or a black sheep in my on my side of the family. And there have been years where that I haven't felt that way. And then there have been years where I've definitely felt that way. And so as an adult, I've just sort of like taken a step back. But I live in Atlanta now. So now I kind of have the best of both worlds where I can go up, see my family, get to see people that I never get to see, and then get to go sleep in my bed. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the greatest. But I stayed a little bit longer this year because my brother has this new girlfriend. And so I was really excited to go. I'm like, okay, you know, I definitely need to hang out a little bit longer, spend some time with everybody.
This is the younger one that you were a little skeptical about initially because he was so into it.
Yes, and we found out that she is younger than we thought when we got there.
How'd that happen?
I think she let it split. We really love her. This isn't like me coming down on anybody, but we were just talking and she's like, yeah, I'm 22. I'm like, you're 22?
How old did you think she was?
He told us that she was 24 and my brother's pushing 30. And so we were like, oh, good for you, Ben. Love this for you. No, we love her. This is not like a hater comment. So anyway, I'm hanging out with them and I was really excited. We're going to Montaluce, this winery up in North Georgia. And I was kind of having a moment where I'm like, this is really cool. We're in this really great phase in our family where everyone's an adult. The youngest one is now 21. So we all enjoy doing the same things now. I think in the past, there's kind of been like weird split where there's like adults and then there's kids running around and then some people have to watch the kids. But I'm like, now we can all just go to a winery and watch a game and hang out. And it's a really good time. And then it got to the point where, you know, we're having a couple of bottles of wine. And as, you know, all family events go, you have maybe a little bit too much and then you go out to dinner. And we're all having dinner at some restaurant in downtown Dahlonega. And then we all just start, you know, kind of spilling our guts and we start talking about the future. And so now it's maybe, you know, 6 or 7 at this point. And we'd kind of been out bopping around having some wine for a good bit now. And the topic of conversation of what the next year is going to look like comes up. And so everyone's kind of throwing out, you know, what 2025 is going to hold for them. And my brother, who literally just got in this relationship, and I say literally, I mean like this summer, it's a new relationship, goes, oh yeah, I'm going to propose this summer. I'm like, what? And then my cousin who just got married is like, yeah, I'm getting pregnant next year. And I'm like, you just got married. Everything's moving so fast. And then my brother goes, oh yeah. And then when me and her have kids, and I'm like, you and I were talking about, I'm like, I didn't know this girl existed 2 months ago. And now you're having kids. And he's like, yeah. And we're going to name them this, this, and this, and this. Oh, wow. And I'm like, now my nieces and nephews have names. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like trying to be cool because, you know, I'm like, everything just feels like it's moving so fast. And so the way I cope with things is through humor. So I'm like, let me make a joke. So I made some joke about how I'll never get to live the child-free life of my dreams, and I take my wine glass and I take a big gulp for dramatic effect, and then to finish off the joke, I'm like, I'm going to slam this wine glass on the table, and so I tip it back, and then I slam the wine glass down, and it shatters. Oh, everywhere. There's glass in my brother's dinner. My mom is bleeding. She's cut up. It's all in my lap. And I'm sitting there just like, play cool, play cool. Humiliated. And everyone just kind of quickly moves on. But the conversation just ends up continuing. Like people just keep diving in more into how everything is going to change in 2025. And I just start to spiral. Obviously, there was some white wine involved, but I'm sitting there and I'm like, we just got to this really cool place where everyone is kind of in the same phase. I feel like we have really great family chemistry. And I just start to get really upset. And I kind of, you know, when your forehead starts to cave in a little bit because you feel the tears coming and you're like, I can't have like a mental breakdown at Thanksgiving. Like, that's just so embarrassing. And I'm sitting there just kind of like looking to the left, my cousin who's 25 and just got married. And then my brother's girlfriend who is 22, who I just found out. And I guess they're getting married. I'm finding this out all at once. And I kind of have to, I start this moment where I start to feel very alone. And in the moment, I started to feel like it was about one thing. It started to feel like, oh my God, I'm the only single one. And I started to panic. And then I started to get like drunk angry where I'm like, they're so young and they didn't have to suffer like I did. And then I run into the bathroom and I just start having like this toddler tantrum where I'm like looking at myself in the mirror. Oh God. And I'm like dry screaming. You know, when you do that thing where you're like, I'm like, I'm literally losing my mind for no logical reason. But when you're around family for that long and you've been drinking for that long, nuance goes out the window. And I just start to get furious that I'm single again for nearly the 28th year. And I woke up the next morning and was like, why did I lose my mind over that? Like, I'm fine. I know everything's going to work out in time. And of course, like, there's some weird feelings about everybody moving on. Like, why was I so sad about that? And I was driving home. It kind of hit me why I was kind of latching onto that feeling of being alone. Like, in the moment I thought, oh, it's just because I'm single and I'm mad that they didn't have to wait as long as I did. And there's frustration with that. And sure, maybe like some of that's true. But then I was like, no, I just feel like I'm being left behind by my family again. Like I mentioned, I always kind of felt like the black sheep in my family. I was always kind of on the outs. I was always kind of like the one that would get left behind growing up. And then I grew up a little bit and then there were other things that happened that made me feel like an outcast. And I realized, I'm like, this is like the first Thanksgiving in a while. I just feel like I'm a part of the family. And next year, I guess I'm just going to be left behind again. Everyone's going to be in a new phase of life. My brother's getting married apparently. And, you know, my cousin's going to be pregnant and things will just never be the same. Like once you cross that phase of life, like I'm not going there. It's not that I'm like upset that I'm like, you know, not married and having kids, but I just know I'm not going to be there and they're all going to be there. And so I'm kind of sitting there. I'm like, oh, I just felt so isolated. And I kind of had to work through that this weekend. Cause I was like, I can't change what's happening and I shouldn't change what's happening because this is just what happens. It's life. Like people get married and they have kids and they move on. But it was tough. I'm just sitting there like trying to keep it together at Thanksgiving and, you know, had to really let it out in the bathroom and come back and try and keep it together. But it was tough.
Have you always had this timeline of when things were supposed to happen? And because it's not right now, it's got you in panic mode?
I mean, I think there's a little bit of that. And I think for women, I think especially when you see 30 approaching, there, even though it's not necessarily true, you do kind of feel like you're going to get put on the expired shelf. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think when in the moment when I was upset about being single, there was a little bit of frustration of like, I've had really no like emotional pit stop. You know what I mean? Like everyone, I feel like has kind of had like a serious relationship by the time you hit like 27 or 28. And for me, like I didn't get romantic attention in high school. And then in college, guys didn't want to date me. They just wanted to hook up with me. And then I graduated and the pandemic hit. And so then my early 20s are gone. And now fast forward, I'm going to be 28 and I'm just kind of like grieving a part of my life that I want to experience and I'm tried to experience and I'm just I can't get there. I haven't found the right person. I haven't found I haven't found a boyfriend yet. And there's some frustration there too. I want to be there with everybody else, but I'm just not. And there's a weird kind of frustration that happens when you realize you just have no control over it. Like it's not something I can make happen. So that's where I'm at.
So, you know, trying to put myself back in your shoes when I was in like, you know, my mid to late 20s, you know, obviously I look at you and I'm like, you have so much life ahead of you. I mean, this is coming from a woman who's, you know, 45, didn't have her first kid until she was in her early 40s, right? And so I look at you and I'm like, I can sit back here and think you have absolutely nothing to worry about. Like there's still so much time and so much life to live. And that's easy coming from my perspective where I sit, whereas I can completely understand and validate your feelings where you sit. The one thing I just want to remind you is you were sitting at that Thanksgiving and instead of being in that moment present, you were already at Thanksgiving 2025.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And once my brother was like, yeah, we're naming our son Wyatt. I'm like, you... Who is Wyatt? And so I'm sitting there, like, looking to the left, looking to the right. And instead of just having a good time, I'm just picturing all of these, like, ghost children.
And who's to say, and that's the thing, like, who's to say that that's actually going to happen? I mean, so many things can happen in the next 365 days, and maybe that's the path that's going to happen, and maybe that's a path that's not going to happen. But you, I mean, I like my heart breaks for you because I know how you catastrophize and like you were already there and you were already living it and they had just vocalized it. So I just want to remind you that it's so much easier said than done about being in the present. And I just, I want to try to assure you that you, there's still so much, there's still so much time left, and you have so much life to live, and you've accomplished so much already, and I don't want you to diminish your accomplishments simply because you don't have a man by your side.
And I totally feel that. Yeah. I'm just, Kristen, I'm just lonely, okay?
I get you, girl.
I just want someone to hold my hand and tell me I'm pretty, Kristen.
And you deserve that.
I will give you one piece of advice that you should definitely take. Your plus one at Thanksgiving next year should be your therapist.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.